and it's time once again for a segment of the show that's called Piece of Kate, P-E-A-C-E, and the Kate in question is Kate Mesmer Jessup, joining me now in studio. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm tired. How are you?
I am not as tired as you are, probably, and I want to acknowledge you for covering what you're covering and being who you are.
You only get every couple of years a chance to do a marathon job.
Thank goodness for that, actually.
Yes, exactly. So we are going to talk a little bit about, you know, election results inside your own head, I guess you could say.
Yes, and also I have a question from a listener who sent in about politics. Hard conversations with people that you care about. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was, you know, super timely, and I'll just jump right into it. So I love reading off, you know, things.
Yeah.
You're so good at it. I try my hardest. I feel like I'm being called on in class right now, but okay. So lately I've been feeling a little frustrated because I have some family members that disagree with me politically, specifically on topics such as homosexuality, women's advocacy, and immigration. I've mostly just avoided speaking to them about it, but I really want to talk to them so that I can see how they could possibly think the way they do and to see if I might be able to help them see my side of things. It has got me wondering about the bigger picture of this dilemma, and after listening to you a few times, I thought it might be an interesting one to send your way. I was wondering if you have any advice about how to have a conversation about charged topics when you don't agree with the other person and with those that you care about. So...
Boy, I mean, you know, that's been an ongoing story for several years now.
Yes, exactly. I thought when I read that, I was like, you know, of course, especially with an election and everything that even just is going on, election or not, we've all been, you know, experiencing this in our families. And it is a difficult topic to broach, you know. And so as I sat and thought about it, I mean, honestly, to be completely candid, in my family, I have people that are on both sides of the line, and mostly I choose to just not talk about it because I guess I just don't even want to broach it, you know. So there's that. You can honestly just choose to, and everybody knows, you know. Usually, like, okay, this, you know, they all know Kate believes in or stands behind this.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I mean, I want to just give, you know, acknowledge this person to, you know, even be thinking about like how to talk to, you know, people that don't believe the way that they do or think the way that they do. So.
And I guess, you know, backing up one step on this, maybe the first question you need to ask yourself is, do you really need to talk about it?
Right. Yeah. Well, and what would it bring? And are the people safe to talk to about it? You know, because...
Sort of a pros and cons list of, you know, because I guess it all depends, and I don't know the motivation of the person who sent you that email,
mm-hmm.
right? But... As we've discovered over this last couple of years, people seem very hardened in their positions.
Mm-hmm.
These social issues, like you talked about, immigration, gay rights, same-sex marriage, abortion rights, there's not a lot of movement from one position to another.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of locked in on how we feel about that. So what's the value in bringing it up is the question I'm asking.
Yes. No. And then on to answer that question, truly, is so we can all start that conversation, right? Because the more that we don't talk about why we are thinking this way and why we believe these things, it's just staying staunch in I'm right and you're wrong. And I hear that in this question, in right here where it says, but I really want to talk to them so that I can see how they could possibly think the way that they do and to see if I might be able to help them see my side of things, right? So
mm-hmm.
it's like, you know, we all believe in what we believe and think, gosh, I'd love for them to see my side. And at least this person's being really open and wanting to hear their side too. But there's a little bit of judgment or a little bit of self-righteousness in that right there. And just the more that I thought about it, it's just as having a hard conversation with anybody about anything, you know, kind of setting a sound foundation so that it is a space, where a conversation can happen that will progress in a way that would be positive, you know, that would, and that starts also by, you know, asking the person if you can have the conversation even, you know, because sometimes when I think we've all been at the dinner party or, you know, wherever, and someone brings up politics, and it's like, ugh, you know, because some people aren't ready to talk about that or don't want to talk about that right now, or maybe have had a glass of wine or two and feel passionate in the way that they feel. And so it comes across and, you know, it can get really mixed up very fast. So that's not really an environment that is necessarily like set up for that kind of conversation. But so thinking about the timing and where you're at when the conversation is going to happen, super important. So everybody feels like they'd have, you know, a way, and then also asking permission. Hey, I would love to hear more. I would love to hear about your side of things. You know, I know that we think differently. I'm really curious why you believe these things. And I'd love to share why I believe my beliefs, mm-hmm. and maybe we could just talk about it. Because mm-hmm. again, kind of going back, it's like this staunch line of, you know, I don't want to talk about it. And then nobody's talking, right? And then we're wondering why the country's divided. It's like, because we're not talking about it, you know? And then we're all standing behind our news outlets and being like, you know, it's so funny. I toggle between Fox and CNN a lot because I just want to, I like hearing, like, what is this, what are they saying about what I believe, mm-hmm. you know? So what's your opinion? And it's pretty interesting to just, like, listen to each side of the scope. And sometimes I'll be like, wow, I see what they're saying. I see what that news outlet's saying mm-hmm, about what mm-hmm. I firmly believe, you know?
See, that's very open-minded and judicious and mature on your part. And I commend you. I always recommend, you know, encourage people, read and listen and watch across the spectrum.
Yeah.
And you'll have a much better, a much better ability to communicate with people who think differently than you.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily going to change your mind.
Yes.
But at least you understand where the people are coming from, what their basis is.
Exactly. And I love, like, right when you just said that, change your mind. It's like really checking, you know, your motives for why you'd be having the conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Not even like, why bother with this person, but like, am I trying to have them see my way? Is that what's up right now? You know, or am I trying to have a conversation that we can talk about what's going on in our country and mm-hmm. how deeply divided it is? It's like, you know, with that Kavanaugh thing, I was just depressed all day because I was sickened with both sides. I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening? Like, what made me feel very hopeless and very, like, depressed? I was depressed all day, and I was just, like, sickened by each side of the you know, mm-hmm. the aisle. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, we need, like, Gandhi to, like, rise up. We definitely are in need of, you know, someone to bring us together.
I don't think
know?
Gandhi could get elected.
I don't.
Couldn't even win the primary.
Yeah, I know. But, hey, you know. So anyway, so that's one thing, you know, asking permission. And like I said, that's really something to note for any difficult conversation that you're going to have with any person about anything, is just mm-hmm. really thinking about, like, you know, setting that stage to be able to, and so people don't feel blindsided by the question.
For sure. I know there are people who are feeling the way you just described during the Kavanaugh hearings right now.
Yeah.
There are people who were counting on, and I saw some of this on social media, they were counting on this blue wave idea that suddenly everybody would become a liberal Democrat and would repudiate Donald Trump in the past and every Republican. And, you know, that was never going to happen in the first place. Unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been a difficult time. People have been, you know, kind of buffeted from one thing to another for the last couple of years. And if you're both politically engaged and emotional, it's a tough time to be alive.
It's a very tough time.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. And it's true. Unrealistic expectation. I think that, you know, I mean, just thinking back to 2016 when President Trump got elected, it's like, I, for one, was somebody who I was like, oh, I don't think that will never occur, right? And then it did. And so that kind of surprise of, you know, that really woke me up. And I think it woke a lot of people up just to realize that, like, Whoa, okay. I don't know. It's also where we live, too. We're very progressive. And, you know, so just to live in that expectation feeling, and then you're going to be disappointed, right? It's just like you have to have also see the win for if you're a Democrat and you know, I mean, half ain't bad, you know. It's better than, you know, the other way around. It could have, you know, happened. So, and I think, too, I love that this is really empowering people to get out there and use their voice and vote, you know. But back to having that conversation, you know, setting it up so maybe you can have it in a space that's very, like, quiet, not a lot of background noise. So it's kind of, you know, hey, come on over for tea. I mean, they're someone that you care about. You can have them, I would imagine you could have them over to your home and, you know, make it like a private thing and have it be something that's conducive or safe for both of you, or even go, you know, offer, hey, do you want me to go to your house? I mean, maybe some people might feel like a little bit threatened on someone else's turf. That could be something. And just really, again, back to setting the foundation, it's like, you know, that I respect your opinion. I want you to respect mine. Would that be something that you'd be able to accomplish? So, you know, I think it's something that's really trying.
Hit play and RESPECT comes on.
Let's start the wedding.
This is what I'm talking about. We're talking with Kate Mesmer Jessup. It's our periodic Piece of Kate segment. Kate's a spiritual coach in Napa Valley. We're going to get back to election results here in a few minutes, by the way, if you're tuning in and wondering when we're going to talk about it. Won't be long. Stay tuned. That's coming up again very shortly. The question that comes up now, and this started literally two Thanksgivings ago, right after Donald Trump was elected,
This
question of going to the family gathering, and here we go because we know that we don't agree, and how do we manage this awkwardness? Should we go at all? Families are not spending as much time together. We've heard that story over the last couple of years because of this, of this political fallout question. Do you get the sense from people that you talk with that it's gotten any better? Is it just as bad as it was 2 years ago? Are we getting accustomed to this division between ourselves as Americans and in families?
I think it's becoming more of the new normal. Yeah, I think it's I respect how people feel and how passionate people are. At the same time, I find it quite sad that you would choose to not be a part of a family because of political views or to knock someone out. It's like, you know, like loving people for where they're at is like life, right?
Yeah.
You know, and if you can kind of agree to disagree, I think at holidays, absolutely not the place to be talking about politics or bring it up.
I agree with that last part, but holidays not the time and place. But let me challenge you a little bit.
Please.
On that. You know, there was a time when, you know, if you had a Republican-Democrat argument over the dinner table, maybe it was about tax policy, or how aggressively we should use the military in other countries, something that's kind of, you know, arm's length. It's wonky. It's left brain, right? Nowadays, though, people are running into situations where they're discovering somebody's a racist, that they've been hiding it for a long time, and now they feel emboldened to come out and say, "Yeah, I hate Mexicans," or something like this. You know, wait a minute, how can I be close to you now if your fundamental beliefs about something like that are so different? Mm-hmm. Or it's about women shouldn't be in power. Women shouldn't be getting all these elected positions.
Mm-hmm.
These transgender people, that's not right, right? So we start going down a path where, wait a minute, I don't know if I can be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you're related to somebody doesn't mean, you know, that's...
That you're required,
that
right?
That you're required to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the challenge. What do you think?
No, and I agree with that. And it is difficult when you start to get to those core values of a person, right? You're like, I don't even know if I'd want that person in my life, you know? And I would hope that then you would sit down and have that conversation and be like, why do you think that? And then you can then answer. I think the answers would become clearer. Sometimes I think people say a lot of sound bites sometimes, or maybe they'll, you know, dig a little bit deeper, get curious about why someone is feeling that way. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, when you said that the other day, that made me, like, that really triggered me. Like, you know, like, whoa, like, I didn't realize that you thought that way about women or homosexuality or, you know, gay marriage or, mm-hmm. you know, all of these really important things, right? You know? And then be able to make the decision from that, I think. What I'm seeing or from a distance is a lot of people on Facebook or families on Facebook or whatever. Someone posts something and then just kind of cutting people out and just being like, but I'm done. You know, or like you hear that at Thanksgiving, and you're like, gosh darn it, Uncle Bob, you know, I'm never going to go back to Thanksgiving at his house. He's a racist. Blah. Well, then are you better than the racist? Because you're not trying to understand and try to see the side and then make a decision. Yeah. I mean, I think that's just that just evokes a that just flags a deeper conversation to be had.
And, you know, more hardening takes place as a result of that.
It does. And more of like, yeah, I don't even want to hear your side. And then here we are. Again, in this divide that's...
And I think just to kind of wrap this up, one of the most difficult aspects of this whole package of stuff that we're just talking about is coming to the conclusion that even if you have that conversation, chances are nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
I think this is something liberals have much more profoundly than conservatives, and that is that if you just listen to me, I can persuade you to think the way I think. I don't see as nearly as many conservative people. They just kind of walk away from it. You
okay.
know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Do you think that conservatives don't even want to have engage in the conversation?
It's not so much that. I think they're a little more pragmatic in the idea that I'm not going to change your mind.
Yeah.
Right? Which we see over and over again is kind of true across the spectrum of issues. Once you've locked in on a position, abortion rights, gun control, belief in God, whatever that is.
Yeah.
It's a really tiny percentage of people who ever change their view.
Right.
They get a lot of attention when they do, but there's not very many of them that do it.
Yeah.
And so if you go into this conversation thinking, I'd really like to understand your perspective, and as soon as I do, I'm going to convince you to think like me.
Right.
If that's in your head, you're setting yourself up for more trouble.
Absolutely. And, you know, that is exactly right.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, really being aware that you're not going to, that's about checking yourself before, like for your intentions, why I'm having this conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to go to my family. I've got some really strong, you know, opposite side people in my family thinking that I'm going to change their mind because
right.
they're probably not, you know, at all, like you said, but maybe I'll understand it a little bit more and be like, oh, okay, well, you know what? They don't necessarily agree with this. XYZ, but they agree with, you know, tax reform or the tax cuts or the jobs in the you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or
find your common ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just kind of be able to settle on that. Yeah. And then hopefully like be able to, you know, at least coexist. A lot of times in families, you don't have to see them all that often. I mean,
thank God.
You know, it's like you could just be like polite, you know, if you don't want to have the conversation.
Love you so much. See you in 9 months. Okay. Take care.
So anyways.
Kate Messmer-Jessup, answering questions. And how can someone submit their question to you?
You can email me at contactme@peaceofkate.com. PEACEOFKATE. Spelling bee right here. So early in the morning.
C-O-M.
Oh, yeah, .com. See, thank you.
Thanks for being here, and we'll see you again in a couple weeks.
All right, sounds great.
Okay.